Welcome everyone to, welcome everyone to the Four St Paul's Boxing Day Carol service. The notices will be as they were on the sheet there. And happy Christmas to everyone, if we haven't wished you already. Call to worship is a responsive reading from Psalm 148 on the screen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. And he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to sing together. It's our last chance to sing some carols. We're going to sing hymn 306, O Come, All Ye Faithful. Now, Rena's going to come and light the candles for us. She's had a big birthday this month, so just a chance to help us with the candles. We're going to have a reading from 1 Samuel chapter 2, which Rena's going to read for us. 1 Samuel 2, verse 18 to 20 and 26.
The child Samuel at Shiloh. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. His mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord repay you with children by this woman for the gift that she has made to the Lord." And then they would return to their home. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow, both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with the people.
Thanks, Rena. I wonder, what did you get for Christmas? We don't have any children here, but there's just as much excitement among some adults. I wonder, were you disappointed with what you got or what you didn't get? What might
earpods.
You got what?
Earpods.
Earpods.
For listening to
for your music. Right, that's exciting. I was wondering whether maybe some of the ladies expected to get some jewellery or perfume, and instead of that, maybe you got a food processor. Or a toaster or something like that. With gifts, well, I wonder, what would your favourite gift be? It may be you didn't get that, and it might not be that the favourite gift will actually be last very long. And people say it's the thought that counts. Sometimes an excuse for not putting much thought into it. But sometimes you get what you need, rather than what you want. I wonder how many of the gents managed to get their traditional pack of socks. But some gifts are just not appreciated. As you get older, obviously, clothes are a favourite gift. But that, again, is not always what you want. But, you know, I wanted a selection box, but obviously, I needed slippers. And something very often that when you're thinking about gifts for people, it's a good thing to think about the person and what they need, what's the best thing. The story today is about the boy Samuel. And he lived in the temple, it says there, and he wore a linen ephod. And I think he lived there from the age of probably about 4 or 5. It says it was after he was weaned that he lived there. People have different ages for that. His mother, Hannah, had been very unhappy because she had no children. And she was so desperate that when she came to the temple, she made a promise to God that if he gave her a child, she would give that child back to God to serve in the temple. And God gave Hannah what she prayed for, and she kept her promise, and she gifted her child Samuel back to God to serve in the temple. And after that, we read that God blessed her and gave her more children. And Samuel grew up to be one of the greatest prophets in Israel. He lived in the temple, he did all the duties that he was given, and gradually learned more and more about the Hebrew faith. Eventually, as he became one of the greatest prophets, eventually he was the one who anointed David as the king of Israel. He was a special gift that God used. Samuel's mother as well, she gave him a gift every year, and it says it was a little robe. I tend to think it was probably a set of clothes. As Samuel grew up, she would have to guess what height he would be the next year for the clothes she was giving to him. Most of his other needs would have been met in the temple itself. But it may be for Samuel that clothes weren't always what he wanted, but it was certainly what he needed. And what was unusual about Samuel and his ministry was that God used a voice to speak to him, a physical voice. We're always wanting to hear what God wants to say to us, and we would love if he just spoke words and we knew that was his voice. But that was the experience that Samuel had from a very young age. God spoke to him with a voice. And in the verse there, it says there, he was in favor with God and other people as he grew up. Sometimes we don't appreciate the value of a particular gift or the thought that went into it. Often when we look back, we see that a particular gift we weren't particularly keen on was actually one of the best gifts we could have received. So it teaches us to be thankful for all our gifts. The gift of Samuel reminds us of the gift of Jesus that God gave to the world to save his people from their sins. And it is a gift that God wants us all to accept. We're going to sing again another carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, number 304. and read a prayer of approach and lead us in the Lord's Prayer.
God of all things, we praise you as the all in all, through all and with all. We come to you in worship. Help us to bring our all, the good, the difficult, the broken, the weariness, the indifference, the passion, the hope, the hopeless, the joy, the anger, the reality of our lives. We have waited through Advent, through dark days and expectant nights. We have declared our presence at Christmas, your presence at Christmas, in the highs and lows, joys and pains. We look to you now to gather us all together, to clothe us and to dwell in our hearts. Grow in us the desire to be your kingdom builders, peacemakers, psalm singers, justice bringers, creation carers, welcomers, and forgivers. Let us praise your name in harmony with the angels and the hosts, sun and moon, mountains and hills, trees and animals. Let all your people praise you, for you alone are exalted. We say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day your daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever.
Amen.
Thanks, Rena. And now we are going to sing again together hymn 296, While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks by Night.
Thank you.
Now, Jim is going to come to us and read from Luke chapter 2 and Colossians chapter 3.
First reading this morning is from Luke chapter 2, reading from verse 41 to 52. The boy Jesus in the temple. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as per usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travellers, they went a day's journey. When they started to look for him among their relatives and friends, when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. Our second reading is Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen, and may God bless to us the reading of these words.
Okay, thanks very much, Jim. There are similarities we can hear there in the story of Samuel as a boy in the temple and Jesus as a boy growing up. And we have to think, at this time, we've just come through the Christmas period and Christmas Day when we think of Jesus as this baby who's come from God. And the readings today is looking a few years further on as Jesus grew up from that period. So to try and just put a little bit of time between the two things. As Jesus at this time was about 12 years old, and in the Jewish system, their children are considered to be adult when they reach 13 and take on responsibilities. And Jesus here was 12. He was very close to this period. Mary and Joseph had traveled to Jerusalem with their extended family to join in with the Passover festival and all the celebrations to do with it. And this was a big thing. It was one of the festivals they were all commanded to attend each year. So there'd be a huge crowd going along from the family. And the nearest thing you could think of is when you have a wedding and you meet lots of relatives from all different places and they all come together. And what happens quite often is you meet up with cousins, you say hello to uncles and all the rest of it, and you just mingle. And on this journey to Jerusalem, it's quite probable that the cousins all sort of got together and they travelled together, caught up with how things were going, separate from their parents. So it's quite easy to see how Jesus at this time was assumed to be somewhere in the company. And I think we maybe tend to forget sometimes that when we think about Mary, Joseph and Jesus, we just think about a little insular group. But here they all were with the rest of the extended family. And the parents assumed that Jesus was among the relatives when they started to travel home. Jesus would no doubt have seen the time spent at the temple with the religious leaders as part of his education and preparation for his ministry. Jesus was God's greatest gift to the world, given to Mary and Joseph to look after as he grew up until he started his ministry. Here it tells us that he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. And a similar phrase was made about Samuel as he grew up. And this time as he grew up was also preparation for his future ministry. Jesus knew what it was like to grow up in a normal family. Like Samuel, there were other brothers and sisters that came along later. He would have experienced joy and pain, excitement and grief. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 says, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin." Jesus learned to be a carpenter with his earthly father, and when Joseph died, he was the main breadwinner for the family. Yet he always knew he had a mission in which he would be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And here, at age 12, with his answer to his mother, we see he has that awareness of his mission. As he grew up, he had studied the scriptures. He would have attended the local synagogue. And here, he had a chance to ask the top men, the leaders and teachers at Jerusalem, the teachers of the law, he had a chance to ask them, what did they think the meanings of these different verses were? I'm sure he had studied the scriptures as he grew up. And as they talked with him, everyone was amazed at his understanding and his answers. But then he had come from the God who gave us the scriptures. Jesus was an example to us. He was not just thinking of himself and his own needs, even though he was the chosen one. And so he became subject to his parents, and he obeyed them. In the passage in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 12, it says there, "As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive as the Lord forgave you." In verse 12, being chosen people, it gives us hope for the future and for eternal life. In verse 14, put on love, which brings unity. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. In verse 16, Have joy as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with your gratitude in your hearts to God. As we enjoy the blessings of hope, love, peace, and joy in this season, we should do everything in the name of Jesus. And in this Christmas season of incarnation and celebration, it's quite often easier to display the values of Christ. Maybe not so much at other times in the year. As Christ followers, though, we should seek to live out these values of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience all the time, to be clothed in Christ as we live our lives, whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, so that we will become one inclusive body. The word clothed doesn't just mean displaying the traits, but actually living out this life as Jesus did, so that these values become part of who we actually are. May God enable us to clothe ourselves in Christ by his grace, so that people will see the life of Jesus in us. Amen. Let's sing together the hymn 320, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Robert's going to come and lead us in our prayers for others.
Let us pray. God of light, in a world which often seems so dark, we thank you for the light which came at Christmas in the form of a baby, unlikely, helpless, but full of hope. We thank you for the message that from weakness comes strength, from the least, the most, and from the ordinary, the unexpected. We bring you places where darkness seems to dominate, places like Syria, Ethiopia, South Sudan. We pray for resolution to conflict, that arms be laid down, and that reconciliation may begin. May your light shine on those places and bring joy to them. We bring before you leaders of the world who oppress and persecute their people. May they realise that it is their duty to rule with justice. We bring before you all who carry heavy burdens, the homeless, people with health issues, people who struggle with addiction. And today we remember those for whom Christmas is a time of isolation and loneliness. May your light shine on them and bring them joy. We bring to you our own frailties and anxieties, our worries about family and friends. Be with them all and bring them joy. And we ask that you will make of all of us here in this congregation a body of people who are supportive and welcoming, so that we may reflect your light and joy to those around us. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to bring our service to a close, and we'll sing together the hymn "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," the famous hymn by Charles Wesley. 301. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.